Before we get too far into this Fly Racing Racer X podcast, remember Racetech, racetech.com. Use them to get your bike working well. Also, tell them you listen to Pulp MX to get a discount as well. And whether it's suspension, whether it's motor work, parts for your suspension, vintage bike, modern bike, all of it, racetech.com. Check it out. Tell them you listen to Pulp, get a discount. All right, on to the show.
A Pulp MX Network production.
Welcome to the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, and Motorsport.com on RacerXOnline.com. With your continuing gracious support of our sponsors, we're thriving at over 1,800 podcasts delivered with over 20 million downloads. Click the Amazon banner on Pulp MX to help us out. Donate via Patreon if it suits you. And as always, enrich your moto lifestyle by working with the sponsors who support us. The original Moto Podcast, featuring legends of the past, stars of today, season previews, race reviews, introspection, opinion, facts, and laughs. Here's the voice bringing it all to you, Steve Mathis.
Say that dedication to your frustration.
Welcome, everybody, to the Fly Racing Racer X podcast with Mike Carr, big wig at Intense Bicycles, talking about the Frame First program and the bicycle world in general. Hope you guys enjoy this. I appreciate you listening to it. Thank you to the folks at Fly Racing, of course, whether it's Cooper Webb, RJ Hampshire, Dean Wilson still rocking it, Justin Brayton's an ambassador, all of those guys, flyracing.com. Code PULPMX to save directly from flyracing.com. So whether it's helmets, gear, goggles, boots, all of it, flyracing.com. PulpMX code will save you with those guys. Check out the Formula helmet. Check out the innovation behind it. It's simply amazing. So thank you to the folks at Fly Racing for all that they do for the show. Really appreciate it. And Renthal as well. Factory Honda, factory KTM, factory Kawasaki using Renthal products. Bars, sprockets, grips. Their new lock-on grip is selling amazing. Fits onto any bar out there. Renthal.com for more information. Their website is super informative as well. So whether you need a 50-tooth rear sprocket like I did, 49 for a YZ450, they got me covered. Twin wall bar, 7/8 bar, fat bar, all of it. Renthal.com for more information. And thank you to those guys, man. If you use the product, you know how damn well good it works. So thanks to Renthal. Maxxis Tires as well. Talk about mountain bikes with Mike here in this episode. Maxxis makes incredible mountain bike tires. And we all know that from the Minion to the Asagi. I think it's Asagi. Asiago? I don't know. Maybe that's a bread. Maxxis.com. For more information on the mountain bike tires, and also dirt bike tires developed by Jeremy McGrath, used by Fast Freddy, used by the PRMX guys, Maxxis.com for more information on that. Thank you to those guys for coming on board. Motorsport.com will tell you more about later. But yeah, please use the codes, save with the guys that support the pod. Here's Mike Carr talking about Intense Bicycles and the new way they're going about things. And it's honestly, it sounds really cool. I think it's really a really cool way to purchase a motorcycle or purchase a bicycle. And I think by the sounds of it, it might change the bicycle industry as well. So listen for yourself. And don't forget, if you're going to buy a bicycle from the guys at Intense, PulpMX10 is the code to save for all bikes across the range, e-bikes to acoustic bikes to the gravel bikes. Check it all out, IntenseBicycles.com. All right, here we go. All right, everybody, as promised here, I've been a long-time advocate for bicycling for a few years. It's helped me get in better shape. It's helped me become healthier. And, yeah, man, I just absolutely love bicycling, ride my e-bike. I had a regular Intense Primer for a while. I've even gotten into road biking. So bicycling is awesome, and hopefully if you're listening to this podcast, you agree with me. And the guys at Intense, I've been partnered up with them for a number of years. They've made some big changes to the program on how you guys go about buying a bike. I know the PulpMX 10 code has been used a lot. It'll stay working. And the Frame First program is something that the Intense guys are super stoked about. And when it comes to the bicycle industry, I got a lot of questions also. So with me on the line from Intense, Vice President Sales and Marketing, Mike Carr. What's up, man? How are you?
Mathis, I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for doing this. Appreciate it. I figured instead of just calling you to have a private conversation with a lot of questions about this. We'll just record it and help everybody out.
I love that. I love that. That works for me.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, before we get into it, how's things at Intense? How's things going? Obviously, you know, a lot of my listeners have tasers. They have bicycles, all of that. How's things at Intense?
Yeah. Great question to start with. And maybe before I even dive into that, I just want to say thank you to the listeners that support the brand, that ride the brand, and have continued interest in seeing us succeed. And because at the end of the day, without that, there's no reason to be, right?
Yeah,
and so we're super grateful for that. And, you know, we at Intense are navigating really tumultuous times in the bicycle industry. And so it's hard on everybody, and Intense is no different than that. And mm-hmm. so we're going through what we need to go through to right size our business and to clarify our strategies in terms of current climate, but then more importantly, how we move forward in a more robust way while we continue to innovate and just create new platforms that riders are going to want to throw a leg over. So it's challenging yet oddly fun at mm-hmm. the same time. And yeah, we're a small little lean team trying to do big things. So right. we're moving in the right direction. We've got some wind at our back right now. It's good.
That's awesome. And the bicycle industry, I mean, basically, as we know, COVID was such a boom. Everybody selling tons of bicycles. Component manufacturers couldn't keep up even. And it was a real great time for the bicycle world. And you know, there was stimulus money being pumped in and all these things. Well, that ride is over a little bit when the bicycle world, and it's no different than the motocross world. I mean, we see the stuff that KTM's going through, lot of it due to COVID. And so that's where we're at, where a lot of bicycle shops, a lot of bicycle manufacturers have a lot of inventory, right?
There is an inordinate amount of older inventory that sits at dealers throughout the country, that sits in warehouse for the various brands. And unfortunately, still sits in Asia that hasn't even made it over here yet. So we're certainly in probably the most impactful moment post-pandemic in terms of heavy inventory, the ramifications of that. But there is light at the end of the tunnel, and there's some indications that we are getting through it and moving in the right direction. But you're absolutely right. There's a lot.
Yeah, this is a neat program for sure. Jeff Stieber and everybody there at Intense, the founder, we had him on the show before, by the way, too. Frame First, this is a pretty cool deal. And like I said, instead of me calling you privately, explain it to us and tell us how this Frame First program works from Intense.
Yeah, I think that the precursor to the why and the how is really who Intense is, who we've always been, and what's important to us. And you mentioned Jeff Stieber. You know, when he started this brand back in 93, it was all about taking something that existed today and making it better. And whether he was doing that with, you know, race boats or sailcraft or even guitars, mm-hmm. That's just who and how that guy's wired. And as he got into mountain biking and realized that it was a super rad sport that he enjoyed, he also realized that, man, I think I can optimize what's currently out there. And that led him to produce, you know, his first frame, and then all of the subsequent innovations that he worked on throughout the years, and really did it with the lens of, it all starts with the frame. I mean, mm-hmm. that's been Jeff's mantra.
It really has, yeah.
Yeah, since like early 90s. And so throughout the course of time, we, like most brands, sort of fell into this natural cadence of trying to get bigger, trying to scale, trying to appeal to a broader audience. And that typically means getting heavier into complete bike manufacturing, as opposed to just really focusing on the frame. And so, you know, at some point in our history, Jeff and the leadership team at the time decided, hey, we've done a great job of creating, designing, and actually manufacturing alloy frames here in the US, but that's limited in its scalability. And so it was time to go to Asia and really work on robust carbon fiber manufacturing and production and start to build full bikes. And in that aim, I think the brand sort of stepped further away from its unique DNA and also realized the course of, you know, the subsequent next 14 to 20 years that competing in the complete bike space as a tiny little, you know, less capitalized brand like Intense was really, really hard to do. And so for all of those reasons, coupled with the fact that the industry needs some solutions right now, we really soul searched, I'll say, to think through, like, how could we as Intense play a role in providing some solutions for riders and for dealers, but also what it's very core to who we are and what we're about. And with the frame being the most important component of a bicycle and the experience that a rider is going to have out on the trail, it made sense for us to lean into this frame first program. So that's just a little bit of like the history and the reflection back to say, we kind of want to be, we want to be the Intense that really drives innovation on the frame side and not the Intense that's trying to fight with one hand behind her back against the big guys from a purchase power standpoint.
Right. And then did you have to tell Jeff, I know we're doing frame first, Jeff, but you can not, you can't build 30 frames, Jeff, different ones. Like we have to like somewhat keep it to a regular XE or whatever, you know, stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause he's a bit of a mad scientist, right? So.
Yeah. As are most innovators and creators and crafts. Yeah. I think that's core to the creativity that guys like Jeff have. And, so it's a balancing act for sure. But he gets it. He's a smart dude and he understands the need for the business to evolve, but also be core to who we are. And I think we've really found that sweet spot for us in this Frame First program. But really, it's more about providing something for the rider that we believe is needed and really leaning into a solution for the dealers in a way that they're desperately looking for solutions. And so the result of many, many, many conversations and think tank sessions and whiteboard sessions, the Intense Frame First program was born. And, you know, just to sort of like summarize what it is, it's an opportunity for a rider to think about buying a bicycle differently than they probably do today. And to think about integrating what they really, really want on the bike from a component spec standpoint based on how they ride, where they ride, and what they really want, as opposed to relegating their purchase based on choices that were made by a brand over 12 to 18 months prior. And so for the rider, they're able to get a bike at a value. And what do I mean by that? So at a value means at worst, the same price of the comparably spec'd competition's bike, at best upwards of 15 to 18% less expensive than the comparably spec'd competitor's bike. And so when a rider can all of a sudden start thinking about, wow, I can get something that is visually distinct, kinematically amazing, and get it the way that I want it, and have that be less than I would pay if I went in to buy a bike off the shelf, that's a win. And then you couple that with the ability to go through a really fun purchase experience, which is to say, with the dealer and you talk through, you know, what drivetrain do you want? What suspension do you want on the front? What suspension do you want on the back? What wheels do you want? What crank links do you want? And that's a different purchase. And there's much more of a fun sort of sense of pride and ownership when you go through that than just buying. So what the Frame First program does is it takes all the complexity of that, because historically customizing a bike has been one, expensive, two, complex.
Yep.
And we've distilled it down to really simple, really efficient, and really valuable from a price standpoint. So think that for the rider, all of a sudden, they have this opportunity to now not have to select from what we call this sea of the same and this sort of homogenized experience and have a fun, really cool, really premium purchase experience with their dealer in a way that provides value to their pocketbooks. So that's what Frame First solves for the rider. And then there are an inordinate number of benefits as to what Frame First solves for the dealer. And I don't know if we want to pause and talk more about rider benefits or if you want me to jump into.
Let's go in this direction. Explain it, I guess, a little simpler. Like you said, a little cheaper, the ability to customize your bike, you fill out the survey, all of that. And so you fill out the survey. You pick your bike that you want. You pick your components, and I'll talk about the components in a little bit. And then it goes in about 3-4 days?
So we ship rather quickly. We can get a frame to a dealer really anywhere in the country within 2 days, 3 days max. The dealers throughout the U.S. that utilize the number one bike component and parts warehousing and supply is called Quality Bicycle Products. Every bike shop in the country uses what we call QBP.
And they're basically Parts Unlimited of bicycles, right? Like they're massive.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, great analogy. And so those guys have 4 warehouses across the country. They can provide the component kits to the dealer even faster than we can provide the frame. And so the rider ultimately can have this experience tip to tail in 4 to 5 days, as opposed to, you know, historically custom was like 2 to 3 weeks at best.
So the QPC ships the components that you've selected for your riding style to fit your frame, and Tense ships the frame. And this is all they met together at a local dealer, and you know it can be any dealer. It doesn't need to be an intense dealer per se. You know, dealers can sign up now for this if you're listening to this and you're a dealer, and they put it together. They make a bit of money. QPC makes a bit of money. Intense makes a bit of money, and the customer gets a customized bike in basically 4 or 5 days, like you said, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's pretty simple. Step 1, 2, 3, You know, the rider, they get to benefit, and they can, you know, research and integrate with us as a brand and ask as many questions as they want around certain platforms, whether they're looking at a Tracer or a Taser or whatever the case may be, and just really make sure they get what they want. They can also do that same thing through current Intense dealers. But the beauty of this program, what we've tried to do is make a very low barrier to entry for a rider to be able to participate. We've opened this up to any dealer across the country that wants to participate, and they do not have to be a currently stocking Intense retailer. So, you know, a rider could live in a really rural area where maybe there's one bike shop, and for whatever reason that bike shop doesn't carry Intense today, they can still engage in this program and buy a bike this way, regardless as to whether they have Intense bikes in the store.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And you can learn more about it on IntenseCycles.com, of course. 50,000 components, 300 brands. I'm thinking, to me, Mike, I mean, the price, like you said, the ability to customize your bike, the downside is you can't go into a dealer and walk out with the bicycle you want. But, I mean, at this day and age where everybody orders from Amazon and you have to wait a day or two, and then for all the benefits we talked about, I mean, really, that's the only drawback. And how many people make impulse purchase buys of these mountain bikes, right? Like to me, like, that's the only drawback is, like, if you want a bike on a Tuesday, you got to wait till Friday or Monday, you know? So I guess that's about it. That's all I can
think of. that really is it. And, you know, we still will have a full bike that we'll produce for that rider that just simply doesn't want to wait. And they're like, man, I just got to have something because I'm going riding with my buddies tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
And so we're going to still build one spec level of each platform.
Oh, okay.
With the exception of the M1, but every other platform will have one build kit that we're calling a foundation build. And then we're not going to produce a ton of those bikes, but we also recognize that some people do want that immediacy of purchase. But, man, I'm telling you, as a guy bought a ton of dirt bikes and motorcycles and mountain bikes and, you know, a boat and car and all the stuff. Like, the ability to really have a different purchase experience and have a different pride of ownership by mm-hmm. waiting 4 or 5 days as opposed to the immediacy, it's so worth it to me. And I know that after, you know, counseling with a lot of the dudes that I ride with, many feel the same way. So we're not trying to shoehorn everybody into having to think that way, but for those that do and want to experience something different and don't want to select from a sea of whatever's there, whatever the dealer is trying to get rid of because he's having to pay interest on it, mm-hmm. Which may not always be the best bike for the rider at the time, mm-hmm. That we wanted to provide a solution for that.
Yeah, no, it's really, really interesting. And I think it'll work, man. I think it's when I think about it, like I said, the only downside I can think of is that one about the guy walking in and buying a bike. But I mean, come on, right? And like I said, you got to wait for almost everything you buy nowadays. Fly Racing, by the way, RacerX podcast with Mike Carr, VP Sales and Marketing from Intense. Thank you to Fly Racing, flyracing.com. Use the code PULPMX when you check out. Renthal, Maxxis, motorsport.com as well, all on board with us for this. So this just launched a couple weeks ago. I don't know when I'm going to put this out exactly, but let's say a couple weeks ago. Mike, what has been the reaction from customers and from dealers about this?
Yeah, it's been really good. And I would say the lion's share of the rider reaction has been very favorable, because I do think that there's this point in time where riders are just kind of hungry for innovation, and they're hungry to be able to have something that's a bit more personalized and not have it be overly expensive and not to have to wait 3 weeks for it. And so the vast majority of the riders are like, this is rad. Like, mm-hmm. how do I get involved? How do I get going? How do I get my bike? And that's awesome. And we're so glad that that has been the lion's share of the response. There are riders that aren't maybe as supportive of the idea. And in most cases, Steve, it's because they either don't fully understand the process, and that's okay. We'll help them with that. Or two, they're unsure and skeptical that this can actually happen, meaning that they can actually get a bike for the same price or less than mm-hmm. a bike off. Because there's some economics of the bike industry that the masses don't necessarily understand. We're able to capitalize on some efficiencies as we focus on a frame business. As an example, there are tariff and duty implications that we're able to navigate in a actually more healthy way through mm-hmm. the frame business than through a complete bike business. We take those savings and we pass those on to the rider. And so when we focus on our core, which is the frame, mm-hmm. and maximizing those efficiencies, and then you have quality bicycle products focusing on the core, which is bringing in component kits, bringing in all the parts and the pieces necessary, doing it in a way that maximizes the dealer's ability to get it and get it profitably. And then the dealer does what they do well, which is they are the market expert. They're the person that can help lead the rider through this purchase journey based on, again, how the person rides, mm-hmm. where they ride, what they expect to get out of the experience. So when all three of those parties focus on their core, there are not only efficiencies to be had, but there's financial efficiencies to be had. And that's where the value of the rider. And so we love that there's some skepticism, and we challenge riders to go out to their local dealer and go build a bike up on the computer with the dealer mm-hmm. and see for themselves where right. it lands. So that's been fun to watch that. And then from yeah. a dealer standpoint, man, it's been very, very positive, because again, they are desperate for solution. They are desperate for some healthier business model innovation mm-hmm. in the bike industry. And the bike dealers are feeling more risk and recession than ever before right now. And so they're primed for a solution and we're providing them one. And so, you know, for the most part, dealers are like, this is really cool. This is a risk-free, cash flow positive transaction. Where else can I find that?
Yeah. Yeah.
In the bike space. And there really isn't any place else to find that. And so, yeah, it's been favorable. I would say that the only pushback from a dealer standpoint, and understandably, is, hey, wait, I've been an intense dealer for 30 years or however long, mm-hmm. and I have a really great market. And now you're going to put all these dealers, you know, in my backyard. And that's simply not the case. You know, we will always reserve the right to approve whatever dealer that wants to come on board based on the market need, and what dealers we have in the market. Mm-hmm. And so by no means is this intended to harm any of our current dealers. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Trying to help them by providing them with a healthier solution moving forward too. So once we, you know, even when we have situations like that, when we sit down and we chat and we talk through it, they mm-hmm. get it, and we all move forward in a positive way. So we're stoked. We're excited. And the response has helped us be in that stoked state.
So when the person orders a bicycle and they select their dealer and they get a final price, and how do you control what the dealer charges to put the bike together and set up for a customer? Is there sort of like just minimums? Maybe I'm unfamiliar with the bicycle world and this stuff is sort of minimums, but the price that you get, you know, that includes the dealer setup, I imagine, everything else, and it doesn't change. Yep. How do you make sure of all that, or how does that work?
Yeah, so the only thing that we control is the price that the dealer pays for the bike.
Okay.
That's it.
Yep.
Right? And we know that by sending our financial efficiencies to the dealer and QBP doing the same to the dealer, that the dealer can make a margin that they're expecting to make that's mm-hmm. fair in the industry, and then pass all that savings on to the rider, including they still can and should charge an assembly fee, right? Because cost for the dealer, and we're talking about, you know, frame up custom builds, which requires more time than just unboxing a bike. We would not and will not tell the dealer what they have to sell a bike for, because each dealer has a different level of service that they bring to the market. So some dealers' assembly fee may look different mm-hmm. than other dealers' assembly fee. And, you know, one market may support a higher assembly fee and another market may not for various reasons. And so at the end of the day, the decision on final pricing and the onus on the dealer, mm-hmm. but that's what they do, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's the value that they'll bring to this equation. And, yeah, so we kind of leave it up to the dealer.
Okay. So when I look at the order and rider setup sheet from intensecycles.com, and I'm pretty into the bicycle world, but I still see some of these specs that I'm just like, I don't know, man. You know, I don't know crank length. I don't know spokes, you know, things like that. How does that work for someone who's not as educated on what they need, specifically component-wise, for all of that? What happens to the average guy who's a little overwhelmed by this?
Yeah, and that's exactly why this is a dealer-centric program, because that's where the dealer adds their expertise mm-hmm. to that rider and for that rider in a way that walks them through, you know, why you may want to consider 165 cranks over 170 mm-hmm. based on how you're telling me that you ride, you know, why you may want an alloy rim versus a carbon rim when you talk about, you know, where you want this bike to land from a budget standpoint.
Yep, yep.
Stem links, like all of those things are so personal yet also somewhat obscure that's where the dealer really gets to step into being the expert. Mm-hmm. And in this day and age, the dealers are really trying to find that opportunity to be the expert again, because there's so much information on the internet that it can be overwhelming and borderline confusing because overload. The dealer can cut through all that and demystify all of that information for the rider to say, hey, based on what you're telling me mm-hmm. and how you're going to ride and what we know, this is what we would recommend and why. And so the dealer's critical in that.
And you, but I'm sure with the world we live in, and like you said, all the information, there'll be dudes who fill this thing out exactly how they want. You know what I mean? Like, there's those guys too that just know everything. Like my buddy Lissamore up in Canada, he would build it. Ah, I need this and this and this exactly. You know, so yeah, there's those guys out there too. So
totally, yeah, we love that. Yeah. We love that. Most of the guys I ride with, that's who that is, and. Yeah. The way that they engage or will engage with this program, actually one of them is already engaging, but they'll fill their setup sheet out exactly how they like it, how they want it, with all the minute details of spec. And they will tell the dealer, this is exactly what I want, how I want it. And, you know, that's it. And that's how it comes. And in most cases, the dealer is going to assemble that. But I've got buddies that they want to assemble their own bike. And that's okay, too.
Yeah.
Right. Like that's perfectly okay to say, hey, some riders love get that mechanical aspect of building their own bike, being sure that everything's torqued to spec and, you know, adequately greased and all those things. And that's awesome. Mm-hmm. We love that.
Yep.
There's an opportunity for that.
And it looks like you'll have most frames available on the Frame First by middle of April. Everything?
Yeah, everything with the exception of the new e-bike that we're going to launch later in the year, which will fall under the Frame First program. And you will, as a rider, be able to fully customize an e-bike, which is super rad because good luck finding that today, right?
No, for sure.
But yeah, so it'll be our M1 downhill bike, enduro, the Primer Trail bike. We have a new bike that's launching at Sea Otter that will fall under this category. As I mentioned, the new Taser, as we launch that later in the year. And then our Dirt Jump bike also qualifies for Frame First.
By the way, speaking of the M1, this is obviously, you know, Jeff and Sean Palmer and downhill racing and all of that is such a big part of Intense's history. I don't know anything about downhill riding, but my buddy who does told me that new frame, the new M1 frame, is absolutely amazing and the riders are loving it. So that's cool. Jeff's done it again with that, you know?
I mean, it won a World Cup race in its first year. That's a pretty good resume builder.
Yeah, for sure. Taser, that's my jam. I've ridden the old school one, the carbon. And then obviously Taser Alloy has been out and I get, you know, I'm, you know, I do the motocross stuff for a living, right? So I talk about motocross and it's all I do. But when I get questions on my forum about like, which e-bike do I buy? I dive right in, Mike, because that's like what I'm into passion wise away from moto. Right. So then I love telling the people, well, how much do you want to spend and where do you ride and how important is battery length and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so I really get into that. And you know, Intense has a few different options for the Tasers. The Alloy ones came out about a year ago, maybe 2 years ago now. And there's a couple different models of that. It is Alloy. It is a heavier bike. Most e-bikes, not most, but a lot of them at the higher end are carbon. So what can you tell me about the new Taser? What can you tell our listeners about the new Taser?
Yeah, man, I'm super excited to talk about that bike. And like you, you know, I come from a moto and motorcycle background. And so for me, and I love animal bikes, and I've raced and ridden mountain bikes, downhill and enduro all over the place. And I love that. But the e-mountain bike experience is just so different, right? Like it's such a cool marriage between moto and mountain biking. It's like a different sport in and of itself. And so, yeah, we love it. We're passionate e-bikers at Intense, and we've been working on a project that has taken us longer than we would like due to supply chain challenges and all the post-COVID stuff. But we will be launching a new carbon e-bike later this year that will be kinematically different, that will be design cued differently, that will blow people away from the aesthetics. It will have a motor battery package that is the most current, the most relevant, the most capable. The bike is going to blow people away. And so it's coming. You know, a little bit of the secret is there's two of them coming. And so That's going to be later in the year, but we're really, really excited to get closer to that point to be able to launch those bikes. But rest assured, okay, we love e-bikes, and we also see the growth in the category. And when we come back later in the year with these two bikes, it will be readily apparent that we're committed to the e-bike space.
I can't wait. Can I get a prototype? Can I get the first one? What?
Yeah. Hey, call it in a few months. We'll go ride in and around Temecula.
Okay.
And we'll get you to throw a leg over. I just might have to have you sign like 10 different waivers.
Yeah. I've heard some of it through my channels, and yes, it sounds exciting. I can't wait. And that'll be, like you mentioned earlier, that'll be on the Frame First program as well, right?
Yeah, yeah, so that's the best part, right?
Yeah.
And so we're not going to tell you how that bike should be spec'd. We're going to say, hey, Steve, how do you want this bike to come?
Yeah.
What dropper post do you want? What drivetrain do you want? I mean, there's a trend, a big growing trend, shorter cranks on e-mountain bikes, because you don't need the long leverage lever arm of a long crank. And you get so many efficiencies with a shorter crank that, I mean, there's guys that are running 150 mil cranks these days on pedal assist mountain bikes. And so if that's what you want, that's how you should build it. And so, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun to see people adopt this new platform, but also do it in a way that they can build it and get it the way they want it.
Yeah. I really like some of, again, I'm such a newbie in the bicycle world, but the new Taser alloys come spec with TRP brakes and derailleurs. I've never really heard much about them. They work fantastic, you know. We got an Ohlins on the Taser S, Alloy S, which I really like, and then Fox on the other one, the Pro DVO. And this is all stuff that you can do through the Frame First, but it's interesting to try the different components of the bikes that I have even, you know. It's kind of a neat process where you're like, I really like this TRP stuff. I really like this Ohlins fork, you know, things like that. So that'll be exciting part of the Frame First. Like you could order a DVO shock and a Ohlins fork, whatever you want, you know?
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's you're unencumbered that way. And, you know, especially riders from moto space are arguably even more sensitive to suspension setup for all the right reasons. And we see more guys and gals that are dirt bike riders be willing to spec a fork that's a different manufacturer from the shock, mm-hmm, because they're trying to tune the bike as effectively as they can front and rear and mm-hmm together. And sometimes you can do that in a way that you mix and match, you know, suspension manufacturers. And so if someone wants to do that, hey, high five, go for it.
Right.
Yep.
How's the e-bike market been for Intense as a whole? Obviously they're taking over the bicycle world, and it's a huge, maybe taking over is a little much, but they took over a number of sales, a good percentage pie of these bicycle manufacturers. How's it the Taser's been for Intense?
Yeah, it's been good. And yeah, taking over, I think, is a fair, it's the fastest growing segment in mountain biking. So mm-hmm, it is kind of taking over, and it's been good for us. You know, when we launched the first Taser, the carbon Taser that you referenced earlier, that bike was widespread success. And that bike also, as many of the listeners will know, sort of was launched in lockstep with and focused on the power sports industry, mm-hmm, because the brand has been so deeply ingrained in motocross and supercross since its inception, you know, having been born in Lake Elsinore, and then we moved the company to Temecula, and there's just been so much integration with the dirt bike scene that it made sense for that bike to kind of be one of the first e-bikes to really make its way into power sports. Mm-hmm. And so we got a lot of success, and that helped a lot of the other brands cross over even into supercross, motocross. I feel like, you know, Jeff Stieber was the first to kind of cross that threshold. And so early success there. The bike has been incredibly successful for mountain bikers that maybe aren't dirt bikers, but still love really oriented ride. And so, you know, we've sold everything we have. Mm-hmm. And as we look to the future, we had an opportunity to build the Alloy bike, which has been successful. Downside to alloy, you mentioned it earlier, is it's always going to weigh a little heavier than carbon, but the bike performs incredibly well. And we had an opportunity to bring out let's call it Taser 2.0 of the first carbon.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't feel like it was us really putting an innovative foot forward in terms of bringing something that was going to be a step change in the experience. And so we chose to forego sales over the course of the last year that we could have received,
mm-hmm,
in order to focus our efforts and our energy on developing the Taser that will launch later this year. And there's a little bit of short-term pain from a sales and revenue standpoint, but
yep,
it will pay off, I think, for us in the long run, because when riders see the bike and they throw a leg over the bike, I think they're going to be blown away. And so to summarize, yeah, man, it's been, mm-hmm, it's been super successful, and we just don't have enough of what we need right now to keep, yep, selling them, but we will before long.
Thanks for listening to the podcast with Mike Carr at motorsport.com. Go through the banner on Pulp MX to help us out. They got a sweepstakes going on right now with the grand prize of a Stark Varg. It's free to enter. And, man, check it out. Really cool stuff. Each week they got cool prizes, and the grand prize is at Stark, motorsport.com, OEM and aftermarket parts as well. Lots going on with the guys at motorsport.com. And if you want to order and see for yourself on the free shipping over $79, on the best prices out there, go through the banner on pulpmx.com. To help yourself there, and whether it's Renthal, Maxxis, Fly Racing, it's all for sale under motorsport.com, the best online retailer out there. All right, back to the show. It's funny that, like you said, the alloy, and I mentioned it's heavy, but then, like, again, you're on an e-bike, man. Does it really matter? Like, I put a coil spring on my stuff, right? And that's heavier too, but I think Mike, just it's, and I can, this is my personal experience too, it's cooler to have carbon. But there's actually no, like, it doesn't matter, because again, you have an e-bike, but it is cooler to have carbon. So there is that. Do you anticipate the old model Taser, the original gen frame, do you anticipate that being phased out?
Yeah. Don't think that you'll see that Gen 1 frame design, mm-hmm, in any of our future Tasers going forward.
Right.
And that's not to say that it hasn't performed exceptionally well, and in many cases exceeded expectations, because it has. But there's so much we've learned,
yep,
from that first iteration that we want to deploy in the next iteration. And that requires us to make a pretty big step change, mm-hmm, in further development, which makes it look, feel, and appear very different than it does in that first iteration.
Yeah, I just didn't know if you were keeping that sort of frame alive, a frame design slash battery capacity, and maybe offering at a different price point or whatever. But no, eventually you see that, like you said, phasing out for two new models that are coming out.
Yep.
And that's exciting. Yeah, for sure. Fly Racing, RacerX podcast with Mike Carr here, VP Sales and Marketing of Intense, talking about the Frame First program. And I mentioned this earlier with Jeff Stieber and the Motocross Lineage. You brought it up as well. I had Jeff Emig here in the studio for the Pulp Show last week. And all of that, he was a First Intense guy. Sean Palmer, of course, crossed over greatly. But yeah, there's a massive motocross roots slash theme to Intense, isn't there?
Yeah, that's what's so fun for me, because I am you, right? Like, I love dirt biking, motocross. I'm too old now to throw a leg over a bike and hit the supercross track, but I watch it. So personally, I love it because it's so aligned with who I am. And there's so many of us, there's, mm-hmm, so many passionate motocross guys and gals that are also mountain bikers. And there's more and more of us, that are becoming so as a result of the e-bike. And it's just cool that I get to be part of a brand that led that transition through the early days with Jeff and his integration in Supercross and Motocross and all the riders and athletes there. And then to have the Taser really be the e-bike that broke the seal and blending those two worlds together. It's pretty rewarding.
Yeah, it's definitely the heritage of the company for sure. Awesome, man. Well, listen, Mike, it's been cool to catch up. I now know more about this program. My listeners do as well. Frame First, IntenseCycles.com to learn more about it. And like you said, you know, there's new models are coming. There will be base models to sell if you want to do that, or if you want to go to your local dealer, fill out this form, buy an intense bike, spec it exactly the way you want, and for, like you said, for a better price than what it used to be. So it sounds like a win-win across the board to me.
Yeah, we think so. And so far, the resounding feedback would indicate that that's the case. And just really excited to get after it and get more people on an intense bike, but do it in a way that they're riding the bike the way that they want it to be built. And it's a lot of fun, man. We're stoked to continue forward and just put all of this into action, which really started a week or so ago.
Actually, one more question from me. So obviously there's the huge brands, the ones that start with a T and an S. They have so many models out there for sure. Like you said, Intense has been flexible that way. But do you think, Mike, like, because, I mean, honestly, I know I'm associated with you guys, but this really seems like a cool program. Do you think, Mike, in, I don't know, 2 years, 3 years, whenever some of the other guys have less inventory, do you see this being a thing? Do you see other people copying this and doing this?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so the short answer is, yes, with an asterisk.
Okay.
And I think that if we provide to the rider and to the dealer what we believe we can provide through this program, there is no doubt in my mind that other brands are going to take notice and want to be part of something similar. And there's no doubt in my mind that the rider and the dealer is going to demand a similar opportunity from other brands. That will happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the asterisk to that statement is some of the bigger brands that you referenced with the first initial are so heavily committed and embedded in the scale of their, that scale being full bike, complete bike production, mm-hmm. and the commitments to the supply chain in Asia and the operating expense structure that they have to build to support that sure. It's really hard for those big companies to pivot mm-hmm. in such a dramatic fashion. So I think it'll be some of the smaller to mid-tier players that will really start to see the value in this and mm-hmm. get behind it. And that's where, you know, our lack of size and scale for, you know, really helps us in this regard and helps yeah. provide an opportunity where I think others will struggle.
Because I think about like the car industry, those Carvana stuff, I guess are doing okay. And then, you know, the last couple of times that I've leased a car or went to go buy a truck, I knew more about it than a salesman, right? In this day and age, I didn't need yeah. a salesman to do anything for me, right? Like, I knew exactly what the options I wanted. I knew exactly what was available. I wanted this and this and this, and I just bought it, right? That's kind of like what this is a little bit. So I wonder if the bicycle world, yeah, like you said, will follow in the car buying world a little bit. So
I hope so, yeah. Steve, because if they do, that means that what we're doing works, mm-hmm. and then that also means that the riders are getting a better purchase experience across the industry, and it means that the industry is getting healthy mm-hmm. and healthier again. And we really, really need that. We're on a path that is not sustainable from an industry standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And if more brands jump on board to a concept like this, then that means we're providing health back into the industry, and we need that.
Awesome. Hey, Mike, thanks for the time. I really appreciate it. Glad you explained it well. Please check it out again, people. IntenseCycles.com, frame first. And yeah, man, can't wait for the new Taser. Like, just can't wait. So,
yeah. Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me, Steve. It was a pleasure. Anytime, man.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
All right.
This has been the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, Motorsport.com, and Kuba Links on RacerXOnline.com. Thanks for listening and supporting our partners.